That's the sound of the beast. Whoop, whoop. That's the sound of the police. Whoop, whoop. That's the sound of the beast. Whoop, whoop. That's the sound of the police.
On today's show, Operation Wake Up, we have the criminalization of black youth in Halifax, interviews with a couple of organizers in an upcoming rally to oppose the criminalization of black youth. Stay tuned for that.
Stand clear, done man attack. You can't stand where I stand, you can't walk where I walk. Watch out, we run New York. Policeman come, we bust him out the park. I know this for a fact, you don't like how I act. You claim I'm selling crack, will you be doing that? They see ya, cause I would never be ya. Be your officer, your wicked overseer. Your hot shot, wanna get props and be a savior. First show a little respect, change your behavior. Change your attitude, change your plan. There could never really be justice on stolen land. Are you really for peace and equality? Or when my car's hooked up, you know you wanna follow me. Your laws are minimal, cause you won't even think about looking at the real criminal. This has got to cease, cause we be getting hyped to the sound of the police.
That was The Sound of the Police by KRS-One. And now for the main subject matter of the show, which is about criminalization of black youth. I did an interview yesterday with a couple of organizers with Black Inspiration Network Nova Scotia about an upcoming rally in March to stop the criminalization of black youth. And here are those interviews right now. On June 20th, there will be a march and rally to stop the criminalization of black youth, taking place at 2 p.m., assembling at the Halifax Commons by the water fountain. Here's a description. Given the seriousness of the current situation, as demonstrated by the recent events at Auburn Drive and Cole Harbour High Schools, and at the Dartmouth Sports Parks bus terminal,
The Black Inspiration Network Nova Scotia, shortened form BINS, are calling upon the community to participate in a march and rally to support the struggle of our youth and to expose the systemic racism in the criminal and education systems. We will start at the Halifax Commons, march past the Halifax Police Station, down Gardiner Street, and end up at the George Dixon Center with plans for a barbecue. And I'm here now with a couple of folks who are organizing with the Black Inspiration Network, Kesslyn Adams and Ella Jones. So to start with, we've got this event coming up, and what is the context? Like, why is this happening now?
I guess I can answer that one now. The reason why we decided to do this at this point in time is because, again, as you mentioned, with the recent events that have been happening, first with the Dartmouth Sportsplex there just before Christmas, when the Halifax Regional Police kind of used excessive force with a bunch of youth that were present at an incident that happened there, and then more recently with what happened at Auburn Drive High School with the excessive use of force with the police going into the school system and kind of just rounding up kids and bringing them in, having them arrested. And so we think as parents and community members that it's time that, you know, some concerns be raised as to why the police are just pretty much basically out to brutalize the children with no answers as to why, what happened, and those sorts of things.
And Kesslyn, you're a parent yourself, and you were personally affected by what happened?
Both times, actually. My son happened to be at the McDonald's across the street when the incident at Dartmouth Sportsplex happened, and was waiting for the bus, and came and was ended up being taken in by the police in December because he happened to be there in the crowd. And then more recently at Auburn Drive High School, the same thing happened. He was a student at Auburn Drive High School and was standing there when the police came in, and was one of the students who was rounded up and taken to the police station. Later released pretty much both times, but it's just, you know, whenever as a parent you ask questions, there doesn't really seem to be any concrete answers.
So it's that, it doesn't even seem like it's an isolated incident.
Doesn't seem to be, and it's not just happening regionally here in HR, it seems to be happening in different places in Nova Scotia as well. But I don't really want to touch on those because I don't, you know, and there's police complaints and whatnot going on with them, and I don't want to implicate anything in any way, shape, or form that's going to, you know, disadvantage their cases. So
there's something new that's starting called the Black Inspiration Network Nova Scotia. One of you like to comment on what that is?
Well, I think the first thing is it's an organization, but it's not a top-down organization. So we've been taught that, you know, we need to wait for leaders, or, you know, there has to be someone in charge. And what we're trying to do is demonstrate to people that just as a member of the community with a concern that we can get action going. So one thing that we're looking to come out of this rally is town hall meetings with people to know what the concerns in the community are, and then as a community we can look at solving them on our own. So that's one thing that, so it's a loose, it's not me or Kesslyn or, you know, this other person or that other person. It's just a group of people who are concerned with what we see with, you know, the kind of racism in Halifax, the kind of conditions we're living in, and particularly that we're increasingly dependent upon the government, so that we're not taking any action and nothing's changing. So pretty much anyone, it's a loose network that can really be anyone, and particularly we're looking at grassroots action.
So BINS is different in that it's grassroots rather than, you're mentioning how, or making reference to a problem of there not being enough grassroots?
Yeah, well, you know, we have, and not just in the Black community, I think in general, you know, there's organizations that are supposed to be in charge of things, and people wait upon those. You wait for a leader to come, or you wait for somebody else to take charge. But, you know, we need to start recognizing that we can do these things on our own. You know, we need to become an economic base in ourselves. We need to become an active base in ourselves. We pay taxes like everybody else, and we ask for things to be done for us that we are already paid our taxes for. So, you know, we're not asking to be treated properly by the police. We pay municipal taxes. They have a, you know, obligation to treat us the same as everyone else. So to get people together to start recognizing these problems and what we can do about them.
So the event's coming up this Saturday. What's the hope for this event in particular?
I see it as a jump-off point I think there's sort of numerous things that it can do. I mean, on the one hand, it's, you know, a demonstration against the criminalization of youth. On the other hand, it's also a really positive event that's supporting the youth and their parents. Most Black parents are out there on their own, because what happens to kids and what happens to parents isn't seen as a problem. So with the Auburn youth, you know, we saw all kinds of comments in the Chronicle Herald about these are bad kids, they're thugs, they're drug dealers. These are kids that are A students in a lot of cases. These are kids with, you know, two involved parents, or however you want to, you know, unstereotype people, with parents that are involved all over the place, working parents, but everyone's sort of defining these kids like they're drug dealing thugs. So to show that they're not, that, you know, this isn't, the community is strong, it's a supportive community, we know what's happening, we're out there, we're willing to come out and support each other. So that's also part of it. One thing we also want to draw attention to is this link between the police and the education system. Sometimes we think of them separately. One problem is our kids are in prison, another problem is they're dropping out of school, but dropout rates predict prison residence later. So that's something to think about, the way the two systems are implicated together and what we can do in both systems to address the lack of success of our youth in the system. So, and also we're looking for really future events to come out. So one thing I was talking about was town hall meetings, or getting people together to talk about what they want done, because you can't take action if you don't know what the people need. So, you know, maybe to find out from people what's going on, to get the community to know that there's people willing to listen, all of those things. So we're looking for really long-term action in the community.
Is that why it's called the Black Inspiration Network?
That's right. That's right. Well, the thing about the name behind it is that we wanted it to be something positive as well. So the idea of inspiration, and for me, what I'd like to see happen too is for when something like this happens again, because we all know that it will in some way, shape, or form, is so that other people in the community, whether it be parents or grandparent or just a youth herself, will have somebody to be able to contact and say, okay, where do I go for help, for, you know, now that this has happened to me, because of this, and because there were some really strong community and parents involved, we were able to get some of the kids who were involved tutoring sessions here in the university. We were able to make sure they had a lawyer. We were able to give them the support, and as a result, they are now back in school. Some of them were expelled, but because the school system realized that there was a group of people behind them who were starting to ask questions, who were demanding answers, some changes have already happened, albeit small. But, you know, I just feel that unless we start doing something, this is just going to continue and continue and continue. So that at some point in time when my grandchild goes to school, I don't want to have her to have to deal with the same things that my son's dealing with now. There has to be some program implementation that's going to change the way that these kids are educated and treated when they go to school and when they're walking on the street.
And right now people kick us around because they can, right? I mean, that's the answer. Why do they do it? Because they can. Because you have the support of the media, right? You can do that to 14 kids at Auburn and the media is going to be behind you. They have the support of the school board. They have the support of the general public. So you need to present another narrative to people that it doesn't have our support. It doesn't have the community support to treat our kids this way, and that people in our community learn that they don't have to rely on that support, because they can have our support instead, and their own support and support of people who are sympathetic to them and don't think that everything that happens to Black people is their own fault. So we're trying to, I guess, create an alternate narrative as well.
And also to give the youth the chance to speak at this rally. There will be hopefully some youth there who were affected by what happened at Auburn and the Dartmouth Sportsplex. And because the media has done a pretty rotten job of portraying what's happened, because a lot of it was based on truth and hearsay. Unfortunately, a lot of other people in the community, as Al has already said, has viewed our kids as being thugs and troublemaking, and you know, most of them aren't. Again, they're A students, they're in scholarships, they're ready to go to university, and because we still, as a parent, I can tell you, Al's not a parent, but as a parent of a student who was at the school and who was involved in the incident, as a parent, we still don't know what happened. There was a meeting with the school board officials, and out of that meeting, there were really no clear concrete answers as to what happened. We do know that there is, you know, some issues surrounding us seeing the video because of privacy the Privacy Act, but even without naming names, they could have said, well, this is the real reason why the police came in the force they did, and we were told that it was a specific code, code 10, I don't want to misquote, but Officer Down, anyway, and when that happened, that's when the police came in, because basically that means any police in the area come in, which one parent at the meeting went and said, you know, that they found it was a little excessive, especially for high school students. If this had been, you know, maybe a prison riot or something, yes, but you're talking high school students who were unarmed, who were just in school kind of trying to get an education, who were on their way back into school pretty orderly from what we heard from the principal, and then...
And one thing studies that they've done have shown that black kids are usually disciplined at twice the rate of white kids in school. So we know this with the Black Learners Report, which still hasn't been implemented. There's been no studies done on suspensions, but as far as they know, black kids get suspended at higher rates, expelled at higher rates, disciplined in the classroom, discipline, all of those things. So, you know, black girls are disciplined for having attitude.
Well, the fact that all black kids were arrested and disciplined is a problem in and of itself. Because there were just as many white kids and non-black kids standing around viewing the incident as there were black, and probably more, actually, because the school's predominantly white. And none of them were taken into the police station. Every child that was arrested and taken in and hauled in the police station was a black youth.
Actually, Al, you were mentioning the whole idea of alternative narrative or alternate narrative, and that was one thing when I saw the mainstream coverage that's first thing I thought of in my mind is I want to hear the stories that aren't in here, because all I saw was the police side and then various authority figures, and the first thing that popped in my mind and what was missing is I didn't hear from any of the youth. There's no interviews with any of the youth.
That's right, yeah.
And that was one thing that struck me the most. Like, those are the ones who are the victims.
And then how are you supposed to interview the youth? Because then they might request, but after there's already been four articles calling them drug dealers, what parent in their right mind is going to let the child talk to the media? On what parent in their right mind is going to talk to the media with their name, because if you're an adult, your name will be there, when you know that you've already been demonized in the story, right? So it was impossible to get the story out once the negative spin had already been put, because then they were sort of requesting interviews, but you can't give an interview to a paper that's already called your kid a pimp, a drug dealer, and the problem is bad parenting.
Exactly.
And, you know, what are they looking to get from you except to confirm that? So, you know, we need to not rely on that to get our stories out.
And it doesn't help when you have community leaders that say the same thing, basically, and that's an issue. That's a big concern of ours, of mine in particular, when you have people who are supposed to be representing you saying that the problem is that it's bad parenting and we need to talk to our kids about fighting in the school system.
And just, yeah, like, I find people don't know what they can do. So even when we're emailing or contacting people about this, a lot of people saying, you know, I heard about this and I wanted to do something. And that's in general, I think, how people feel, that people can see there's a problem, but they don't know how. And, you know, to let us start as a community coming up with how, figuring out how to organize, figuring out how we can, in our own communities, get stuff done that we need to have done.
It seems like there's already been a few efforts that have come onto the ground, such as the Auburn Parents for Justice and now BINS. So it looks like there's actually people organizing to take action. Would you say that this is an example of people actually coming together more so than existed before the incident? Has this incident caused people to actually
organize? I think because I think, again, people where the incidents has happened so closely together, and if you're looking at what's going on,
the dome fight, you know, which wasn't teenagers, but that was 40 black people
arrested. But that's what I was getting ready to say. Other events that have happened around, not only in HRM, but around the province, I think people are becoming more aware of what's going on, and, you know, they're just starting to get more involved, or trying to get more involved.
So, is there anything more you'd like to say about, in the lead up to this event coming up on the 20th, about, things you'd like to hear people hear, or would like people to hear about?
I guess I would say that, you know, if you feel that the justice system is working exactly as it should, don't come out. But if you think that, you know, there's problems of injustice in the system, if you look around the university and wonder why there's no black kids here, if you look around the courthouse and wonder why there's so many black kids there, you know, then that's what we're trying to address. So, you know, it's not about, you know, not taking responsibility in the community. It's about taking responsibility in the community. Even if our kids are the problem, then I still want to know why. And I don't believe for a second they are the entire problem. But, so, yeah, I mean, I think if you know anyone, most people, definitely if you're black, you have a family member in prison or has been arrested or something.
Or know somebody anyway.
So it's important for you to recognize that they may not be guilty or that they may not have been sentenced fairly or that the conditions that led them there were unfair, that the way they were educated led them there. And, you know, it's not our fault in that sense. And we need to, as a community, stand up for each other and for our imprisoned brothers and sisters and for our youth and stop it from happening over and over again like it has been for hundreds of years. So.
Any other comments, Dad?
I'd just like to add that at the end of the event as well, after the rally, that there is going to be, again, some support in a, and sort of like a fun day. So we plan to have, you know, some events there for all ages. There'll be like some spoken words, a barbecue, hopefully a DJ, and possibly a jumpy castle. So for the little ones.
What's a jumpy castle?
Those things you've got, air castles that you've got.
Right.
So that will be at the Dixon. So particularly for folk in the square, you know, it's also something that we can put on for, you know, the community as well.
That's right.
So yeah. So come out for free food.
Great, free food. So I've been talking with just heard L. Jones and Kesslyn Adams, who are involved in organizing this event. Once again, here's the event, March and Rally, to stop the criminalization of black youth. Meeting at 2 p.m. Saturday, the 20th of June, assembling in the Halifax Commons by the water fountain. And yeah, you heard it all. I don't need to repeat what it's about. So come on out. And I guess that's about it. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. So that was an interview that I, Asif, did yesterday with L. Jones and Kesslyn Adams about this event, and I will repeat the event now. March and Rally to Stop the Criminalization of Black Youth, 2 p.m. Saturday, June 20th, assembling in Halifax Commons. Given the seriousness of the current situation as demonstrated by the recent events at Auburn Drive and Cole Harbour High Schools and at the Dartmouth Sportsplex bus terminal, the Black Inspiration Network Nova Scotia are calling upon the community to participate in a march and rally to support the struggle of youth and to expose systemic racism in the criminal and education systems. We will start at the Halifax Commons, march past the HR police station, down Gottigen Street, and end at the George Dixon Center with plans for a barbecue and, as you heard, a whole lot more stuff for kids and for everyone. Okay, so now next, gonna play a poem by L. Jones called War on Black Woman.
Now we got L. Jones reciting a poem called The War on Black Women.
Little girls play with Thomas the Tank Engine while black girls get trains run on them. Little girls play cat's cradle, but black girls get catcalled from the cradle. They're learning what is brought home in school halls. So white women report their rapes, but black women say nothing at all. Little girls play hopscotch while black girls watch hip-hop. So your little girls take face-offs while black girls learn face-down, ass-up. Little girls do cross-stitch while black girls hear, don't snitch, bitch. So Britney gets hit one more time, but Rihanna needs stitches. There's a war on black women, from Essence to CNN. I can't see an end. It's from seminaries to Eminem, from medicine to celebrities, to Bobby Hemmett to academics, and even the feminists don't give a damn. Gloria Steinem and them won't even defend Michelle Obama, never mind LaTanya or her mama. Shame on them. So this epidemic extends from Preston to Tournament, because for black women's torment, black men never get sentenced. So it's just Chris Brown's temper, because it's hard out here for a pimp. Remember? My empresses of Kemet, who are out in the trenches, who are fighting with 23 times higher percentage of AIDS infections and maternal death sentence and 10% lower life expectancy and medical experiment instead of health inspection. And the most care they get is a John's injection with no protection and a sentence for soliciting in a cell of corrections, all while 50 Cent pimps us out in his Lexus. And past the election, I bet the NDP government forgets us.
and never a sentence in the Chronicle Herald about the chronic racism and horrid sexism, and meanwhile another few black girls go missing. We're like lemmings to them, filling cemeteries or buried in cement. The 11-year-old black girl gang-raped by 20 men, but it was in some American ghetto and not in Soweto, so even Eve Ensler won't pay attention. And the woman in her own hood said she just wanted attention. This war on black women, it's bigger than the second. Our own people are the weapon. It's from Texas to Mecca, from Beyonce to Coretta, from hot ghetto mess to we got to do better, from Gats and Berettas to charges of possession, from this global recession to cabinet sessions, from orders of protection to high school lessons. And if femicide is the global warming of women, it's getting hot in here. So take off all your clothes, because young black girls are being taught that it's normal to be on the pole. It is normal to be on the stroll or taking the rap out of love of their man, yo. Because they have never known music that didn't call them ho. And so the seed we have planted in them has reaped what it's sown. And it's hard out here for grown black women all on our own or with the wrong men up in our homes. And some throw their daughters to him as a bone and fire. 500 years of this battle has stolen our soul. So while Move Bitch Get Out the Way stays a hit record, young black girls are being identified by their dental records. I guess they were in the way of someone, because young black men must live by their hormones. This new normal is killing our daughters. They're like lambs to the slaughter. 40% of black women assaulted before 18, and that's just the ones who report it. And our own men are enlisted, or the good ones ignore it. There's a war on black women, from statistics to chicken heads, from ballistics to nappy heads, from strip clubs to psychiatrists to Baptists to prison beds. It is sickening to witness my sisters get kicked in the head by black men made sick in the head because they were tricked out too on the cell block giving head, and tricked by a media addicted to blaming the victim and depicting the bling of the walking dead. Because this war on black women, our men think they're chilling, but after the woman and children, they're up next for killing. From the coalition of the willing to IDing civilians to COINTELPRO to our living conditions, this war on black men, you can see it on CNN, and I cannot see an end once the women aren't seen again, because this war on black women, it's just the beginning. And it's hard out here when the real pimps are winning. There's a war on black women, from Nickelodeon to Cineplex Odeon. The masses are ODing on the opium. I swear it's open season. Just open our brains and you'll see the homing beacons. So white girls watch Hannah Montana while black girls wear gang bandanas. White girls watch Dora the Explorer. Black girls lock doors from predators who want to explore her. Crimes against white women, international crisis. Black women meet with a wall of silence. White girls are taught they are Disney princesses, but even Essence prints negative images. White girls read Nancy Drew's adventure, but Nancy Grace won't investigate when black girls enter. Missing white girls are national headlines. Missing black girls just never make deadline. So white girls play red light, green light. Black girls scream stop all night. White girls play mother may I. Black girls' mothers say why. When white women are raped, there's a terrible price. But what happens to black girls is just called life.
And that was L. Jones with poem War on Black Women.
You have the emergence in human society of this thing that's called the state. What is the state? The state is this organized bureaucracy. It is the police department. It is the army, the navy. It is the prison system, the courts, and what have you. This is the state. It is a repressive organization. But the state, and you, well, you know, you've got to have the police, because if there were no police, look at what you'd be doing to yourselves. You'd be killing each other if there were no police. But the reality is, the police become necessary in human society.
You know how we think. Organize the hood under I Ching banners. Red, black, and green instead of gang bandanas. FBI spying on us through the radio antennas. And I'm hitting cameras in the streetlight watching society. With no respect for the people's right to privacy. I take a slug for the cause like Huey P. While all you fake niggas try to copy Master P. I wanna be free to live, able to have what I need to live. Bring the power back to the street where the people live. We sick of working for crumbs and filling up the prisons, dying over money and relying on religion for help. We do for self like ants in a colony, organizing wealth into a socialist economy, a way of life based off the common needs. And all my comrades is ready, he just spreading the seed. The average black male live a third of his life in a jail cell, 'cause the world is controlled by the white male. And the people don't never get justice, and the women don't never get respected, and the problems don't never get solved, and the jobs don't never pay enough, so the rent always be late. Can you relate?
No more bondage, no more political monsters, no more secret space launches. Government departments started it in the projects, material objects, thousands up in the closets. Could have been invested in the future for my comrades. Battle contacts, primitive weapons out in combat. Many never come back, pretty niggas be running with gas. Rather get shot in they back than fire back. We tired of that, corporations hiring blacks, denying the facts, exploiting us all over the map. That's why I write the shit I write in my rap. It's documented, I meant it. Every day of the week, I live in it, breathing it. It's more than just fucking believing it. I'm holding in ones, rolling up my sleeves and shit. It's C-Lo for push-ups now, many headed for one conclusion. Niggas ain't ready for revolution.
The average black male live a third of his life in a jail cell, 'cause the world is controlled by the white male. And the people don't never get justice, and the women don't never get respected, and the problems don't never get solved, and the jobs don't never pay enough, so the rent always be late. Can you relate? We living in a police state.